Hi, thank you for listening to the Spotlight Report, our weekly podcast in which we sit down and speak with current academics about their life and research in lab. If you like the Spotlight Report, you can subscribe on iTunes, like our Facebook page, or find it on any common podcast app. You can also directly find the podcast on our website, which is loft.optics.arizona.edu/podcast. Please comment any questions or ideas for people you would like us to interview in the future. Additionally, if you have more feedback, feel free to email us at thespotlightreport@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. So for this week's Optics Roundtable, it's a bigger group this week. We are going to be talking about unequal degrees. So the question of, just because you got a master's or a PhD, does it actually mean that you did the same amount of work or the same impact of work as someone else? So to start things off, I'm Logan Graves.
Mahamoka.
What's up here?
Eddie LaVilla.
Chase Salisbury.
That was Eddie LaVilla, actually. That was last
week.
To give a bit of background on everyone, Chase graduated, Mahan has basically graduated, John Yu has graduated, you're effectively graduated.
Come on, I'm not that fresh. You cannot force me to graduate. It's like all of a sudden feel like, am I not belong here?
No, definitely not.
You have to have the confidence. I'm two papers away from graduation. I just say to everyone, yeah, I basically have a PhD.
You're also the only graduate student ever who says, like, oh, no.
Right, don't make me graduate.
Right.
Don't make me leave.
Maybe you should title this podcast Grad School. When you graduate, you still think you're there. It's like mental abuse carrying
around. Or it can be titled Grad School. Do you ever gain that confidence? Alright, so to start things off, the issue is that sometimes you might go to a master's defense or you might go to a PhD defense, and you will see someone defend work that not only you, but maybe others think is not that much, or not that significant, or it's already been done, etc. But they graduate, and they still get a master's degree or a PhD, and that forms a question of, if you're going to a company, or if you're going to a school to try to get a job, does it mean something, right?
Well, this is a highly subjective topic.
Yeah.
But you've got a lot of interesting angles to ask questions on, right? So, let's throw some stuff out there. It's in my brain. That's what I do. You guys can chew on the rest of it. You've got the perspective of, is it a student's responsibility? Is it an advisor's responsibility? What I'm talking about is depth of work. Does it benefit someone or hurt someone? And again, student's responsibility to do their best to learn or be in-depth in the project. Is it a group atmosphere who's working on a certain project? Do you have help and resources there? Or is it an individual type of group that works on something? I think each avenue is interesting to explore. And then kind of fundamentally, what is effectively then better checks and balances throughout the graduate college, the College Office of Sciences, to say, yes, you've now gone through. Because we have standards, right? I mean, everybody has it. It takes 54 units. You pass a comp if you're a PhD, you do a thesis if you're 32 credits in the thesis of your master's. So, I mean, you know, the next industry sessions working on college also do influence that. You know what I mean? But, alright, I'll tip my hat into this one.
Alright, I'll just suggest some topics and contribute to all topics.
Right. Well, I already gave you that. That's sort of like, and then, right? Okay, so, well, here's the thing. I'll give you this point. I think you don't dive deep enough into a topic, you're doing yourself the biggest harm than anyone else. If you can't get to a point where you can reliably publish or reliably understand basic fundamentals in almost any situation regarding your field, you haven't done your education properly, and it's going to hurt you in the long run.
Sure, and I think that that's what a comprehensive type exam theoretically is testing for. Whether or not it actually achieves that is debatable.
So, do you think it achieves that?
The college dropouts one?
Yeah.
No.
Neither do I.
And I just passed it, so, you know, I can see that kind of thing.
Yeah, now that you're pretty clear.
I think that the oral exam was the most close approximation to feeling that way. Because the comps, you know what to study for, and it's like a standardized test. We all got into grad school, so we're all pretty good at taking standardized tests. The oral exam, the professors can be like...
They assign the professors, that's one thing. Like, you don't pick your committee.
Right.
So that's sort of like a... Should be a positive or a negative, I guess.
So, the way it used to be before, because I took the old version of the committee, you had to choose your own committee members. Yeah, so you had a list of like every topic, and they gave you a couple of options, but you had to pick the professors, and my desk was with five amazing professors.
Yeah,
there you
yeah.
go. Really good there. Yeah.
Fun fact, I put in...
an additional passer, by the
way. Yeah.
They don't listen to
us,
don't worry.
Fun fact, I failed my oral comprehensive exam the first time. And so I had reading it. And I feel like...
With five more other amazing professors.
So did you pass the written, okay. failed the oral with four, and then had to do another oral with five?
No, I failed with five.
They had one each.
And I had the same... So your committee six, doesn't five. Change. Your committee is the same, basically.
Oh, you did the six-question test?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, that's why.
Yeah.
Okay, alright.
Yeah, we were...
I did the middle baby version. It was like, I'd say it was five.
All three of us did, right?
No. You did the newest one, right?
Oh, yeah, okay.
I did the five subject one. And that was four members, but I was in the silly one.
And I feel like I learned optics the most preparing that I've ever
done. Right.
After that, I was confident, like, I could... Even if I didn't know everything, I was confident enough about optics that I could talk to anyone and not look like an idiot to myself.
I still don't have that confidence even after
the exam. Take the exam with five committee members.
It's okay. It's quite
alright. And all the subjects, like all the material is
but you
open
do,
for questioning.
So in my exam, I had, Neil's not here, but I had Dr. Fearnwood and a couple other professors. And I think the best part of it is that the professors can, like, poke and prod to see where you're really at. So they asked me a question, I answered it correctly. Dr. Fearnwood crossed his arms and leaned back and looked at me quizzically. Like, I got it wrong.
Deep sigh, shaking his head.
Yeah, he was like, and in my mind, I was like, oh, shit. There goes that exam.
Better luck next time. That's what he said to you. As you answered.
You were there. You were actually your Dr. Pyramid.
Yeah.
I still want to listen to this podcast.
He's our only listener. Yeah. He's like, ha ha.
Yeah. Oh, they know me so well.
Yeah. No, but he was like, ooh, well, really? And then I ended up proving on the board and came to the same conclusion, and at the end I was like, oh, I'm so sorry I gave the wrong answer. What a silly mistake. And he's like, no, you gave the right one. We're just seeing if you're confident.
Yeah.
But that's something that A, doesn't translate on a written exam, and B, I think that's an important skill, because when you do go out in the world, someone, you might say like, no, if you set up the optical system like this, you'll get this aberration. Someone will be like, really? I don't know.
So what's another solvent besides the comps and the amount of units you have to take to say, you've done some bar minimum amount of work to warrant a degree, master's, or PhD?
I think your committee or your chair.
Yeah.
Right?
I think
your
committee.
I guess that doesn't address, like, unequal.
Well, theoretically, the committee, when you defend, that should be, like, the test, right? But for the most part, it doesn't seem like once you get a committee to agree to sit on your defense, then it's like,
yeah.
I've never really heard of people, like, being like, oh, I'll sit on your defense, and then like, nope. I did this just so I could say no.
So here's my other story. I only actually provide the stories. Everyone else,
that makes sense. What's the name of the podcast?
It's Logan. It's story time.
That's what I thought it was.
Dr. Barrett.
Oh yeah,
if they were to start off.
Right. He's an avid listener, though, so
he and Lars sit around.
Yeah,
and
they listen to it together.
So they can target students they don't like.
Yeah.
Dr. Barrett, for listeners who aren't familiar, is a legend in optics, especially imaging science. He's extremely smart, and he lets people know it. Before I was in graduate school, I went to a defense and he failed a student. He started asking a student a question during the public section of their PhD defense. The student kind of stumbled. He dug into it.
Barrett dug in.
A 3-hour long public defense. And then he failed at the end. But while we
it wasn't like he did great and then he failed. It sounds like
it was a long train wreck down.
Okay.
But that being said, all of us are thinking oh, holy shit, that sounds awful. But that also is the solution, right?
Right. I was going to say that. I think Barrett is OG, meaning old school in the sense that he will fail a student if he doesn't think they're good enough. I've heard of Chipman failing students.
Seriously?
Yeah, and I can't think of any others off the top of my head, but maybe that is the solution.
Jim did Burge,
okay, I can see that. So it's you have this group of professors who really value the reputation of the college, and they're not willing to let anyone out unless they meet their standards.
Right.
So, but I feel like what happens a lot nowadays is committees are pretty lax, where they'll be I've read your dissertation, I've read your thesis. Maybe I haven't read your dissertation or your thesis, but I know your advisor pretty well, and if he's willing to say okay, I'm willing to say okay. And then it sort of makes it less difficult to pass, because everyone, before you even defend, everyone's already on board with you passing. Everyone's
it's a sure thing,
because if the advisor is willing to let the student stand up in front of everyone, he's pretty confident in them. I'm pretty confident in their advisor, so this is probably going to go well.
Right.
Because I've been to a few defenses that have been what sound like similar events to the one you went to, and they passed.
Yeah.
It was a downhill wreck.
You're sobbing at the end of congrats.
I don't know. The professors are laughing.
Was it your own defense?
Yeah. No, I didn't pass.
How many layers deep should you be able to go in your own defense on certain questions?
What do you mean?
Yeah. So, I'll give you my example. My defense will be centered around three major components. The I, right? And all of the
letter or the?
Just the I. I is so symmetric when it's capital and very not symmetric when it's lowercase.
Right.
What happens when you forget that God is still an I? It's very confusing, right? There's a philosophy edge to it.
Yeah.
Right? Imaging, right? And then...
It's a small topic at least.
Yeah, it's not that big. No one's really doing it. And then, there's basically statistics, data processing, data analysis, right, that exists there.
Okay.
So in each of those areas, right, there's a significant portion of work that justifies, hey, this is new, novel, and we explored something interesting, right? I've got reasonable confidence that I know about these areas, especially related to my topic. But, for instance, if you started, I have a committee member who's a doctor, right? He's an ophthalmologist. If he started taking me 2 layers, 3 layers, 4 layers deep on something the eye does, where do I have to pass the buck off? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Where can you say, I don't know?
And that's
that's outside the scope of my project.
Kind of. That's kind of my point. I love the idea of the committee being, harsh and passing needs to be passed. Because the reason I'm asking this question is I've seen defenses where there are questions, and then the response becomes, because that's what we did, right? And there are these top layer type responses, do you know what I mean? So how many deep do you think is reasonable? You know what I mean? 2, 3, maybe 4, I could see those kind of things.
Right.
But there should be at least a base minimum sign of, if you're asked why, or what does this mean, or why is this...
How do you interpret that?
How do you interpret this, right? Is this... Even asking a question is this agreed upon in your field or agreed upon by people who else are doing this kind of work? If you can't answer that without some sort of justifiable answer or something along those lines.
No, I think that is the responsibility of people either your advisor or the committee chair, should be your advisor, they can't stop people from asking you questions, but they should have the responsibility of avoiding situations like that.
But that's not, that's not what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting very basic questions are asked about things that you spoke about, and I've heard two different defenses now that have been top-level answers. Meaning,
dude.
I'm not going to go... this is what we did.
Yeah.
This is the algorithm. This is the method. This is the...
Right.
This is the physics.
Or even worse...
That sounds like a fail to
me.
That's kind of my point of, like...
Yeah.
This is what... I think that's the root of what you're talking about by the podcast.
Yeah,
the unequal...
Like, right, and, like, I've been to more than two where you hear a hard question get asked and the advisor jumps in and says, like, oh, let me tell you all about it.
Oh, yeah, the advisor says...
it's not your...
Which is kind of what Mahan's saying, but at the same time, like, I agree with what you're saying because there's a level where it's like, yes,
right.
Oh,
right.
What is, how do the, I don't know, I'm not even trying to pretend I know anything about the eye, but how does these two cells interact? That's not really the point
I
of the dissertation.
I mean, you'd say the questions so they're asking him.
Oh, man. So
so the, one, the doctor who has 30 years, the 30 years of experience is like, well, how come these cells interact
sure.
and they trade mitochondria?
Oh my God.
You know, in the eye. And the,
Chase works for a biology company too, and he's saying,
yeah, like, microscopes and stuff. And the advisor's like, you know, that's sort of like, that's not really the
right.
real focus here. But if it's a top level question, like, well, how did you calculate that? You should
yeah.
definitely be able to answer it.
Right, you're like,
yeah.
well, how does the eye accommodate? At this point, I
should
probably
know
how that part
yeah.
works, right? Or.
I would, so. I don't want to give the specific example.
You don't want to name names.
I'm not going to name
don't names. Don't name names.
You can edit that later.
No, I'm not going to name names. But, like, I have
right,
been at a defense where, like, one of the most fundamental office questions you can imagine is asked, and they go, like, I don't know. And that, like, that galled me.
But
like,
then knowing you could just mess up on one question, that doesn't mean you don't deserve it.
Yeah, I agree.
If somebody asked me what the airy disc is and I didn't know...
Oh my, wait a second. If you can answer the airy disc at year 5 or 6, get out
like
of the...
Age 5 or 6?
Yes.
No.
Maybe you're we're talking about on the
six.
Playground, you're burning
talking.
Ants, you need to know the spot size of that ant so you can hit it. That's what I'm talking
yeah.
about.
I mean, maybe, you know, you
wait,
got nervous, you messed up. English is not your first language.
It is a terrible... Remember, it's a terrible chair that I sat in because Chase's leg was super hot.
Well, you can skid over more, though.
Yeah, then he also just stayed right next to Logan, too.
Because
like,
I know you're coming back.
No,
Let's talk about some visual stuff. for like the next 20
so
minutes.
So really...
Logan is sitting on that end. Right.
So, I think the benefit of an oral exam... Also, you guys need to jump in on this.
Yeah.
We just want to listen to the story first.
Okay, you just want to hear us complain, and then the benefit of an oral exam...
And then tell me, go listen to this podcast, and I did not say anything.
Right, exactly. The benefit of an oral exam is that you can say, like, oh, I think the airy disc is 4F number. And they'd be like, what?
Yeah.
And then they could say, hold on, why do you think that? Like, what goes into it?
Right.
And then you explain
yeah.
the idea. But if you can't explain the idea, you should be passing.
Well, here's the other thing, too. We talk about checks and balances. There's a written test, and there's an oral exam.
Right.
Okay? And you take those year one now for the new students, right? Meaning, you got to have some of the principles under your belt. Fine, great. We're talking about year 5, after you've already done your oral exam and done your written exam. If you choke in an oral exam... Which they will always tell you that they write these things very much and give you the leniency to do so. For example, I couldn't get angular magnification on a telescope during my oral exam in 502. I do that every day. Every day of my life, I do point-to-point imaging magnification. Very simple. I couldn't get it. I choked.
That was my point. That
no
sometimes
one,
it's not that you don't know it, you just get nervous.
In a
about
third year on a test that moves you forward or not into the program, right? And then I would argue in your third year of PhD, you're pretty green still too at that point. Really,
you know,
you're not really
yeah.
functioning
yeah,
like you are now at 5 and 6.
My point is, by 5 and 6, you should have some stuff so far under your belt. It's just pants. Those are your pants that you woke up with every day, and they don't come off. Right? They're gross. They haven't been washed, but you own them. Right? Airy disc is somewhere right in the thigh region, and then you got basically, you know, Gaussian reduction somewhere down by your ankle because you get kicked off and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you gotta have something. If you talk to someone in the photonics background, they might think that any solid state stuff is very basic. But if somebody now asks me any question on solid state optics that I was supposed to,
but they're not
going to
ask you solid state optics in your defense.
Yeah, okay.
That's my point. My point is, someone is going to ask you about an airy disc in your defense, and you do imaging. You better damn well know what an airy disc is.
Well, and I
that's like my thing. So to have an example of like someone doesn't get that, that's unexcusable.
Yeah.
That's fail worthy.
But I think maybe some people don't ask those questions because the assumption is that if you have gone through the written and the oral prelim and you're at this point and you're writing your dissertation, you probably know it. Like, it's not that they don't want to ask you, they're sure you would know that.
So I witnessed Gerniak at a defense. Did you put it on my tab? 6.
Glad that Chase has more importance than your story.
Yeah.
The rest of this podcast.
He's graduated. He has more money. I witnessed Gerniak at a defense.
Hi, here.
Shit. Logan's so uninformed. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
He asked a kid a question about his research, and the kid was like, I don't know. It was like a pretty valid fundamental question, and it was interesting because it was about the research, like about how they collected and analyzed the data. And he's like,
yeah.
I don't really know.
Well,
and Gerniak,
but he or she, is he,
yeah.
Brave.
Or she, yeah. Let's
yeah.
keep it as ambiguous as possible.
But he or she is super brave about that.
I
or
really
maybe they're
know.
Just at the point it's like I
he
can't.
Didn't, he didn't. They this person didn't fucking care. They were like, I don't really know.
Wow.
And then
at a certain point, how long can you fake it until it shows that you don't?
Right.
Until you can make it,
right.
Exactly. Until it shows that you clearly don't know.
But the interesting thing was that Gerniak was retired, and you could see him. He was, like, ramping up, and you could see him, like, really getting ready, and then he was like, okay. Because he's retired. He gives a shit. Yeah.
Oh, really? So
he backed down. He asked a question.
Because I was just about to interject and say, Gerniak, he's on the OG.
No.
He's in what I would consider to be like.
He was retired. And he backed down.
So retired Gerniak is different.
Because I'm looking at it going like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, because
he's like, this college is over.
Yeah, maybe he was like, everybody else saw what happened. And now it's their responsibility.
Yeah, maybe he feel like, even though I didn't say anything, maybe my other members.
Right. Well, and I think that you're right. I think it fundamentally is subjective. But the thing that brings everyone together in it is that your degree theoretically should mean something. What do we mean? Means something reflecting the college, means something reflecting the professors there, reflecting your advisor, reflecting you and your peers. So if you go out in the world and you say, like, oh, I got my PhD or master's from the College of Optics at U of A,
yes,
and you demonstrate, wow, you're so smart, then people will say, like, your advisor's great, the school's great. If you go out and you can't figure out the area of this, or you can't figure out whatever, people will be like, man, it's going downhill.
And I agree from that standpoint, right? And I, like, so we've got an interesting perspective because, you know, we attend a school that is the equivalent of, like, a Harvard or a Yale or a Caltech of our field, right?
Yes, I mean, that caveat's very important.
You don't leave the College of Optical Sciences and usually struggle to get a job, right? I mean, no offense, barring foreign nationals, you guys have a really hard time. That's the U.S. problem. It's the U.S. problem, the U.S. problem. But basically...
That's not a problem with your technical merit.
No, it isn't.
It's the U.S.
problem. It definitely has to do with, like, orange sponges.
We're trying to relate.
But no, you leave with a very, very prestigious degree from this field. Mostly because the thing that I got struck by this recently, how few people there are that do optics. Because in my head, because we see everybody, like, oh my god, we graduated 50 undergrads.
Yeah, there's
so many people here.
Right.
We have,
that's
like,
cute.
5 to 10 programs maybe in the country that graduates above 10 people for optics. There's a mechanical engineering program at every single school. There's an EE program at every single school. That the magnitude of that is crazy, right? And
everyone knows shear stress. Not everyone knows focal length.
It's like, but that, so that also is another thing. So not only are you doing that, but then to have that kind of training, that's, like, that's insane.
I think that there's some validity to that, because even though, like, if you talk to anyone who graduated before you, they're like, oh yeah, upside's going downhill, they just hand out degrees. Even in, like, the worst case scenario, if someone gets hired, then the company's like, wow, this person is, like, actually understands how imaging systems, like, form inches. They're, like, already so far beyond the person who did, like, electrical engineering and had one physics class that was like, oh, yeah, wavelength. I know what wavelength is, because they have so little experience, and yet, because somehow their research overlapped with optics or photonics, they got this optics job.
This was my complaint about biomedical engineering, is that I felt like the depth of knowledge in my degree for biomedical when it came to optics was just super superficial.
Because they didn't. They didn't expect that. They didn't expect you're gonna go that deep. They may think like in this field you just need to know how to use those kind of stuff.
Right. And that's how to use it. How to use it.
Yeah.
Tool,
yeah. You do not have to understand the principle.
Well, and I was talking about this with somebody. I don't know who it was.
Well, you always take the responsibility.
But the idea that. The idea that optics is everywhere and we take it for granted so readily.
That was my discussion with you 2 hours.
Okay, yeah.
So.
Wow, fresh memory.
What?
Looks
across the table in the wrong direction and goes, I think it was you. That was 2 hours ago.
That was
me.
2 months ago, you and I talked about it. No, 2 hours over here.
So, but here's an interesting, the point you raised that was really interesting because I agree with you. I don't want someone to leave with a degree that I have, because then we're both on equal footing when we leave here. Same college, different advisor, same level or title of degree. That goes for master's students, it goes for undergrad students, it goes for PhD students. Everyone across the board. Everybody leaves the College of Applied Sciences degree, right?
Well, that everybody.
Well, you have people that don't get the degree, yes.
Right.
Okay. Why don't you just rub their nose into the ground too at the same time?
They're sad.
I think they're the ones.
We're very inclusive.
Oh.
Logan Graves is just mauling kids who failed in the ground.
I'm just going to cut this whole
thing. We're back.
Throwing dodgeballs at 5 year-olds. Yeah, all right. We get
just
2 minutes. Big man of kids.
Skip forward 30 seconds.
But no, so just as you said that, you know, I don't want someone leaving with something that wasn't earned, wasn't at that same degree. Perhaps then, the committee that we've discussed of saying, okay, you get to your final step, if it's your master's thesis, your PhD, you know, defense, maybe people in the audience, peers, need to ask more questions. It's not being so fluffy like, hey, that's my friend, but let's not pick at him. Let's not ask him a question. Like, don't dummy those kinds of things.
I do that. You're lucky I didn't show up to your defense.
I'm lucky you forgot about it.
And right. People don't like it.
I'm really nervous in a moment. You're going to show up to mine.
Everybody wants that.
Nobody wants
their
dissertation to be
heard. Yeah, exactly.
You get your dissertation and you're like, it's like the end of a marathon and you've been shot in the leg.
But you can appreciate that, though.
Yeah.
Right? Think about that. That's like saying, hey, you spent X amount of time doing really, really hard stuff and all these trials and tribulations and challenges and you raised above them all. And at the very end, you got softballed out of there.
Yeah,
that's kind of stupid. You know what I mean?
It
shouldn't be bad, but at the same time, you should expect some questions. You should be like, yeah.
I was going to say, it should be easy. Not because the softballs are like the throwing softballs, because you're an expert.
Right.
You should be an expert.
Yeah. From that lens.
So
from that lens.
So I think one solution is to give a lot of importance to the committee.
Right.
So like people, if you ask them to be a co-author on your paper, they're very careful because it's their reputation on the line.
Yeah, that's a whole other talk, like adding co-authors.
Yeah, but
what are
papers? Yes, I agree.
I don't know.
But if you ask somebody like that,
yeah,
you know, he would be like, okay, I need to like read this paper and reread this paper.
Yeah, I need to rewrite it completely.
Exactly. Whatever.
It's not a red here. It's actually all red. What is that?
So I think with the dissertation, the committee's reputation should be on the line.
What if, as part of your committee, you had like 3 professors? And also, like, 2 alumni, like, from industry or something, who graduated, like, 10 years ago or something. Because then their reputation's also on the line. they don't know anything about your research, but they're experts in optics, and they just want to, like, ask questions.
I was going to say, what if your committee just gets published with you on your dissertation?
That's what I meant. Exactly. That their reputation...
I don't think they do.
They do.
Figured. Committee chairs are listed? No.
Yeah, actually, they have to sign off.
Those are
Yeah. On the approval form, I guess they all sign.
Are there... If I look up a dissertation, will the...
Yes.
Yeah, they sign.
Yeah,
but I think people normally don't really look up those things. At most, they see who your advisor is, they don't see.
No one's gonna be like, I really want to hire this person, but I just looked up their committee and I'm not impressed. Like,
so you just get degrees, baby. Doesn't matter, just put the crap down.
If the committee is given a lot of importance, then it doesn't even matter who they are. Because then they'll be careful passing you.
When I was at Lincoln, they were like, oh, we just want to hire someone from Burgess Lab. Because we know that Burgess Lab is...
Honestly, that was part of why I initially went into
James Group. As a student, you're looking for, like, a respectable advisor.
And I really wanted to go in industry. Jim does OptumNet.
Right.
Jim Burge.
That's perfect.
Although he's since retired.
Shout out to Jim Burge. Say they got a vote. He's listening, I'm sure.
But I wanted to go in industry, and, like, that's what you heard.
Right.
Oh, you're part of the law group, you're going to get a job.
Oh, yeah.
You did Matt Dubin's class, you're
going
to get a job.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that it does become like a personal issue of respect.
Yeah, but then at a certain point then, so Jim Burge retires from optical sciences.
Gets on a boat.
This is
and then everyone,
okay,
but then everyone is like, but then the fear is that everyone in the industry is like, oh, yeah, Jim Burge retired, Eustace Dreniak retired, Harry Barrett's on his way out, like...
But then this is a separate discussion.
Separate discussion.
It's a separate discussion that, like, it now becomes gay roots.
Sure.
Or
but it takes time to build up that reputation. So I'm saying you can't just
wait a second. You guys have totally forgotten about something else. The age of the specialist is now dead and gone. Welcome to that new reality. Okay?
Also, what are their options? It's not like Burge or Dreniak left the College of
Just off the map.
He did some baller stuff. He kind of sailed around the world.
Yeah.
Sick.
But I mean, you have hiring somebody from another school, it's not like all the experts are there.
That's true. It's not like everyone's
Hold on,
so what are they going to do anyway?
I wasn't trying to take shots at those cats and being like, oh, they're specials, they only do one thing. My point is when I went through my interview process, they asked me like 90 questions that were not even related to optics.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, what can you do? Can you wire this thing? Can you do this electronics diagram? Do you know how to do this post-processing thing? And I'm like, dude, yeah, because I've been a weirdo and looked at a bunch of stuff.
But that's why you would want a robust graduation process and a robust examination, like oral exam process.
Yeah, I would agree, because that's the new expectation.
Right.
Is that you're good at everything?
Not only are you good at everything, but, like, you're robust in your knowledge.
Like, the shift has turned more to... Like, so you really want to be a brain.
Rephrase it.
Right, like, so here's the thing. It's like, you need to be a super brain, basically.
Right.
Like, a PhD is carrying more weight now. It's almost like they expect more.
Right.
And almost kind of unrelated. It was bizarre.
So now the tone of the conversation is that the PhDs are too good at everything. all the graduates are so good at everything.
Well, they kind of, like, expect you to have all these things. Like, you can code and wire and...
Maybe.
Build and do all those other stuff.
I feel like somebody's trying to advertise their skills for
this podcast. My skills?
This is the thing that didn't
get me hired for many different jobs.
Because
you worked.
Yeah, because I'm a brick. I got like two things I can do.
Okay, that's not accurate.
It's like MATLAB and I can draw a ray through a lens. That's
right. With those two skills.
Dude, put me in a room with some MATLAB and ray tracing. Let's go.
Everyone's like, we want to write this like .m file, but we also need to know where the rays are going through the sun.
Exactly.
Who has those
skills. Is that a cooked triplet?
Because
I got all the answers for you. Look at that achromatic
space. This is gonna be an aside, but Jen told me that she encouraged industrial poets to listen to this.
To this?
Oh no!
No, to the older ones.
Oh
no! Not
God.
To the rounds. Yeah. No.
And we're back.
Hello, everyone.
After Logan's edited out the past 10
if my company is listening, I love you.
I'm gainfully employed. No one knows my company. Bye.
So here's my question for you guys. is this a similar situation in your prior experience?
It's so hard to say, actually. It's so hard to say. Because I feel like it's so good why they set all these kind of rules, because they want, at least this is the average quality of our PhD students or master's students. But if you talk about China, then it's a totally different story, because in China we got so many people, and here is a different case. Like, so when you get a lot of people there, then you set this kind of rules, then you can say it's quite a fair thing. It's quite fair for them, because everybody have to chase for the same rule to meet the same requirement. Then it's quite good. But when a bunch of people become, the number of people become quite small, then it's an issue, because each people got their own personalities and they're good at different stuff. Then the rules maybe change, because they have to focus on, okay, we'll focus on this area, maybe not so good at that. They may have to treat each people as different stuff, but yeah, but so it's kind of hard to say. And each people got their own personalities. Like for students, well, I don't know for PhD, but for master's, they got several kind of students. One is, I just want to graduate, get this degree so I can get my salary, I can get high salary. So I don't care of everything. I just meet the requirement that I can graduate. And there is a second one, they want to pursue for their PhD degree. So they may try to fit make those kind of requirements. And the third one is kind of like, I'm not so sure. Then it's kind of disaster for them, because they, well, from my
perspective, people are down to slow.
Yeah, because from my perspective, they're kind of, it's kind of disaster for them, because they can choose their way. It's not that hard, like, you finish this coursework, then you can graduate. Where you can choose another way, like, you just focus on this thing, then you can go to the next step. But for them, they feel like, what should I do? Should I do this more or that more? Then it depends on their personality again, to see whether they are a mean person. They just want to do all the good for themselves, or they want to do really do something for the society, for the community or something. Yeah, so it's also hard to say. And for the PhD, you know, students want to graduate, they want to have some good reputation for the future or something. But for professor, they kind of like, some professor like, I have to do something good for the college. I want people see our college as a different standard or something like that. And so they can be some OG or kind of, but some professor may be kind of nice, because they feel like, you are a PhD student, you suffered a lot. As long as you can go to this step, then you definitely can be graduate or something like that. But for the companies, different again, because they don't care. They feel like you are a PhD student, and you send your resume to our company, and this is our expectation. You should meet this expectation, and if you are not meet this expectation, I'll just assume you got a clear thought of the future. So it's totally different. Well, so in the end, it depends on who you are, who you want to be, what kind of person you want to be. You want, yeah, but yeah.
So I mean, like, it boils down so much to personal responsibility.
Yeah, because it's so hard. Like, you want to take care of this professor. You also want to take care of your future company or all those kind of things. They kind of lose the direction. It's so hard to. So hard to say.
So how does the person who like really wants to do a good job and is like committed for however long, like, rectify the situation with the person who's just doing the bare minimum?
It's too bad for them. It's too bad for them.
Oh, yeah, they shouldn't have worked so hard.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Cannot say idiot.
Why are you working so hard?
Cannot say idiot. Maybe they really pursue for something they think is really, really important for themselves, but maybe in the end they will feel like it's so hard to balance everything.
Well, I think of Daewoo. Daewoo, if you're listening, go
ahead. Daewoo, turn on the podcast.
No, I mean, I think of Daewoo honestly, where my perspective on him is that he thinks that what he's doing is so cool and that's why he does it. Which is kind of like a romantic ideal that, like, I'm only going to do something because I really am into it. I'm not going to do it for prestige. I'm not going to do it because I'm, like, masochistic and torturing myself. I think you do see students who do that, where it's like, well, I worked so much harder than everyone else. So fucking what?
Right, because I hate myself. Right.
I've been wanting to ask you this podcast, do you think there's a difference between hard work and then, like, an actual deep dive that comes out of interest?
Yes,
I think there's a 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can get a degree, if you have the right advisor, the right project, and the right committee, you can get a degree on working hard.
Right.
And that, I think, absolutely, is a fundamental cheat to this, like, higher education part.
I will state unequivocally, and part of it certainly is that I've had two beers that,
hard,
like,
stance.
Hard stance. Hard stance is that, like, it is so frustrating to hear people say, like, oh, like, at every stage, from an undergrad through, like, beginning graduate, etc., or even younger, where it's like, oh, like, it's so hard for me. Why are you doing what you're doing if you don't enjoy it?
Right.
I thought you were going totally opposite.
I don't
also build that wall. That's right.
Whoa.
Right.
The full 180.
We just organized a new trade agreement. We're not building any more. Right?
Episode 54.
Off.
Logan takes a full flip.
I am
certainly a joke. Certainly a joke for everyone listening.
It's not funny.
Yeah, Eddie, the white male is very offended by that comment.
Why were you shaking your head when you were saying that?
It's me talking. You're
weak. You.
Yeah.
Why are you holding up a sign saying, just kidding?
Well, no, I mean, the thing in my back of my mind is that realistically, the most people who listen to this probably are going to be graduate students. And the biggest takeaway is, like, it can be, graduate school can be super hard and weird and robotic and challenging and depressing. But at the end of the day, try to remember that you're there because you really find it interesting or enjoy it, not because you're trying to prove how smart you are or how hard it is.
But if you don't enjoy it, you don't also see the flip side to all those negatives that you said about grad school, which is wondrous, crazy, euphoric at times, sometimes very surreal that you're this little ant finding out something that no one else knows. If you truly love it, at some core, it's deep, you know, it's deep down, right? I am all for leaving work and going and being a human being. Trust me, I do that on a daily. It's very important. But you have to fundamentally at your core really enjoy what you're doing or really enjoy the subject, right? Because then you see in all of the sad times, robotic, depressing, all that kind of stuff that shows up, which are more often than the other times, those pockets of, like, oh my god, it worked, or oh my god, that,
right, the highs,
the thing that I, that the thing I thought by making the shape, it came out, it worked, it's right there in front of me. That part is why you drive on those kind of things,
right? And my, I guess the reason, one of the big reasons I stated what I said is that my solution to this dilemma is that I'm not getting the degree because it has high prestige or relative to other people anymore. This wasn't the case when I first joined. What I'm now doing, the reason I'm getting the degree is because I'm an asshole.
Thank you.
No,
no one. Oh yeah, look at the audio here.
Yeah.
Perfectly.
I saw it.
It's spiked right now.
Once he's in the background.
Oh, yeah.
The reason for it is because it's interesting, because your research project is worthwhile. Otherwise, you're going to have such a miserable time getting through the whole process.
But I think, there's one thing that, I think this is very important. I didn't want to miss an opportunity to say this, that even if you really love what you're doing, even if you're good at what you're doing, you will face times that you just hate what you're doing. You have to be very clear that just having that romantic idea of, like, you know, I love this, this has a greater purpose, whatever, is, that's great, and you should always keep that in mind, but you will have plenty of times where it will be depressing and tough, and there might be things, comprehensive exam, that you feel like it's not worth it. But that's sadly an essential part of getting to where you need to be.
Yeah. So what we're saying, I just want to be clear, the people who are like really enjoying at the core, you know, they're it's hard, but they like what they're doing. Those are the people who, like, are doing legitimate work. And the people who hate it are
you guys are saying that they're sort of skating by. I'm trying to interpret how the conversation is steered.
What they're doing and be able to get like a PhD.
What I mentioned before we started this stuff was you can, in the right circumstances, work very hard and get a degree. Now, what I'm telling you is that's bullshit.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So here's what I told my lab mate a couple days ago. She's going into her third year. She just got through comp exams, right? And I told her, hard work. Yeah, well, no. You can quit anytime you want.
Someone's keeping you here.
But this is where this is going to drive. Hard work. At this point, it's not equal success.
Right.
That is no longer a 1-to-1 scale.
Right.
Or 1-to-2. That scale could slide ridiculously.
Yeah.
Right? You have to work hard to even have the opportunity.
Right.
To be successful.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, once you understand that part of the game, right, you can continue to work hard and work just enough. Right? You can get to that limit and go.
Right.
The parts that mom is talking about that of like, I hate this now. When you get to those like depressing, sad parts, it's actually because you really care. Right? It's usually that inner drive in you that's like, I want to know why I don't know.
Right.
That's
why you're depressed.
That's how I'll tell you the separation happens in grad school. I will tell you that's the basis of equal and unequal degrees in this podcast right then and there. Because you can work your ass off and you can underwork and fail. You can work hard enough to get by, or you can work super hard and then be mentally tortured because you really want to know why this stupid thing doesn't go.
And that equals success.
There's going to be success. And that's long-term. That's long-term success. Because.
But how do you define success?
All personal. There should be no merit on like the outside world telling you what your definition of success is.
Well, one person's success is like, I'm just going to graduate.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is true. Their level of what their achievable success is, but again, that has to lie with them, right?
Right. That's John Mayer's point.
Yeah.
The buck stops with you, right?
Of course, right? Now, if you talk about it from the perspective of this podcast, and what is in terms of a degree, equal and unequal, right? What we're trying to equivocate is you're really doing a PhD. You're an expert. You've dove in. You've gone through the nitty-gritty. You've blown away any other circumstance. You've answered three layers into your questions during your fifth. All that stuff. You own that topic, right? You put the work in to match that because the hard work had to come with that.
Right.
Unequal, in my opinion, would suggest you can't tell me three layers deep.
Right.
You worked just hard enough, and your goal, your success goal, maybe doesn't align with learning.
Right.
Or doesn't align with doing something new.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, that's...
You're, like, concerned about graduating, not concerned about learning.
Right.
Yeah.
Ooh. Different.
I feel like that was a breakthrough in the podcast. If you're listening, minute 53, we just broke through.
Why 53?
You were so close. We're at 51.
Yeah, Maham. Get off my back.
What are you, that's your PhD or something?
No, I just graduated for the diploma.
The paychecks do you
I think that's a really powerful takeaway for anyone considering graduate school or in graduate school. The idea that, like, at the end of the day, this really is, it's for you.
Right.
Yep.
So then, but what's the consequence? Because people who are just trying to graduate and people who are really, really want to learn, and it's like the PhD is just a side effect of learning. How do you put those two things together? Because you're inevitably going to have both types of people in your program. So you want to maintain the reputation of the college. You want the people who have graduated from the college to like still value their degree and not feel like they're just giving them away. But at the same time, I mean, the college wants students to graduate because that's good for the college and that's good for business and things like that.
But I also think that, as you were saying, that everybody has their own definition of personal success. And I think, at least for our college, if you have graduated, you at least know enough.
Right.
Maybe you're not an expert or you didn't do it for the love of learning.
Yeah.
But you also work pretty hard. There is no doubt about that. And I don't think me or anybody else has the right to say, I got my degree because I love learning. and how dare sure. you get the same degree just because you wanted a good job.
Right.
Yeah.
Not to make a
this is
right.
You can't take my argument of what I just said to you when I said previously.
But you can't use the exact words you said.
You can't, right? You're like, because my asked, well, what's your definition of success? And I said, that stops everyone. You define your own success path.
Right.
You can't own that. Say what I said and not say that there's some solve to that solution.
Right.
Right? Because what we do if we put a solve in that solution is we say one is better than the other. The student who chases learning is better than the student that wants to make a better life for themselves.
Right, right.
That's not necessarily the case. Right? Sure. They are different. Right? We can talk about unequal and equal in terms of, if we want to phrase this, is this a group of people who are really interested in what they do, right, are chasing the pursuit of knowledge and really want to keep going, that's one way to phrase it. Then you want to argue equal and unequal, right? But part of this thing, right, part of this discussion that I have, which is so interesting, is really to convey the point of, like, you need to work hard, period. Everything else that you do past that, whatever your internal drive is going to do, will reflect on your peers differently as well, too.
Yeah.
So now we're all sitting in someone's defense, and you hear someone who's chasing dollar signs. You hear someone who's chasing the graduation date. You get the same shit we see. You get the student who's trying to learn being frustrated going, you can't answer two layers of questions. What did you even do here?
Right.
Put someone else in their seat, though, that's just doing the same thing for the degree, and they'll go, boom, that cat worked. He's out. He's doing his thing.
Yeah, good for that guy.
Pretty tight. He didn't answer a bunch of extra questions.
Right.
The thing was smooth. We're out in an hour and a half.
Right.
Good job. Difference.
Right. Time for lunch.
Time for lunch.
Yeah.
The thing in another point of view is like, you two, I mean, those who just chase for graduating were just chase for, I want to learn more, I want to build a good perspective for myself, are totally two different kind of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for your friend or for your circle, you may not have a deep relationship with them actually.
Mm-hmm.
So you only feel bad when you think about that. You think there are a bunch of people like them exist. But actually in your life, what you usually communicate with or what you have a good friendship with are not that kind of person. So
I agree
100%.
So what about the idea about how what you started the conversation with, like there are a set of criteria that deems someone capable of solving a problem, right?
So,
and that's what it's all about.
Right, so...
So unequal, equal, doesn't matter. Is this person capable of solving a problem that they get hired to solve?
That's what I think, right? That's where I think that the judgment, the rite of passage should come from,
right?
And so what I was so hard on you earlier for an area, going in area disc, there are fundamental
things. Yeah,
we
were all pretty judgmental.
You need to know, right? Mom was like, I probably shouldn't use the area disc, right? Someone really mentioned that. There's things that you definitely need to, you have to know them. You have to have some, there is some baseline of, this is a bare minimum for you to understand and then reproduce and know how to reproduce and say it at the right time.
Sure.
Right?
And I feel like it's totally worth to talk about this topic because even though for your point of view or as a person yourself, you feel like as long as I know the direction, it's not that important. But as a community, as a bunch of people, you should realize there is an issue exist. So this may always remind you of what kind of person you want to be and remind you there are totally different stuff in the world or something like that.
Well, what's interesting too is like, because when you first brought up the topic, I was confused. I was like, where is the onus, right? The onus on the person? The onus on their advisor? Where is that? Where are we defining equal and unequal? And the more I've been thinking about it, right?
The more beers you've been drinking.
Well, the more beers I've been drinking, right? Because like, IPAs are good, strong, and nice. But, you know, when you leave, that's another test, right? So now you get this piece of paper, it's handed to you, right? Bachelor, master, or PhD. It gets handed to you, and then what you do next is another journey with that.
Right.
It's like a separate test.
Right. So you can be successful, right? If your goal is success, you can chase success. And you can also attain more money, higher job standing, right? Big house. That may be the things that drive you. You could also get into a position where you continue to learn, right? Go for a government research job, high-end R&D,
postdoc.
Right? Postdoc. Something.
right? You're doing something else there.
Well, it's not be crazy.
Yeah, right? There's only so many people who want to go be a professor. That'd be just,
okay. I thought we were just brainstorming, but okay.
No, yeah.
I understand. Only your ideas are good.
James, like, I've heard of extra school. You can do that after 9 years.
Get another PhD.
You keep going. It's a cycle. It's like, yeah. Right? Then that becomes an interesting question of, like, well, now who's best set up for that? Right? What does each of the degrees, like, now you go through a PhD, let's say, or you go through a master's degree, right? Is that set up for both camps? Is it set up for the person who wants to chase knowledge to succeed? Is it also chased for the person who wants to move up in life? Also, are they able to succeed?
Because
what I mean by this is, like, so if you leave with a PhD, you're judged by three letters, right? You go to anybody and you say, if PhD at the back of your name, they're like, brain. They're going to expect you to be a computer. I ask you questions, you spit out high-level information.
They're not aware that PH stands for philosophy.
Exactly. We can get whimsical, and if you give us two Kool-Aids and a beer, everything's just all set. It's all scrambled now, right? So that no longer becomes, right, the personality shows back up, right? And the preparedness will show back up, right? Does this degree, in its nutshell, let you succeed and do those things? That's a very interesting question, too, one I don't have an answer for. Because the other option, like John, you said, is if you have so many people, then you become very cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Well, everybody gets that now. What do you do with that?
Yeah.
Just in case you want another podcast title.
Title. It'll be a string of titles, is all I meant.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So,
I think you haven't had enough beer.
Yeah, you've been loading up this whole time. We're ready to hear what you've been drinking.
So I think the problem is not the problem, but
no, get into
this. This is because optics is a really wide and comprehensive field. Because you know, like Mahab said, for photonics or imaging science, right? And not imaging science, photonics or quantum imaging. They may not care about the LED disc things, or like they may focus on other things. For example, like my undergrad was astronomy, but for the astronomy, astronomy is also very wide field, so we need like someone focused on the galaxy thing, or someone focusing on space optics things. But we all have like same degree astronomy, master of astronomy or things, but we don't know about the. For me, I don't know about how to galaxy evolve from the city to galaxy. But I have master degree in astronomy because I'm focused on optics things in my master. So in Korea, actually, in the Korea or the university where I'm from, we are focused on, we expect the masters to have one research topic completed. If you finish one research topic, you can get a master degree. Or if you can finish the research from the start, from the scratch, and you finish your whole research to the end, now you can get a PhD. That's how we expect to PhD and master in the previous university. I think that's totally different from here. Because here, for example, prelim exam, you have to study like ENM and 502. Geometry optics and quantum and whatever. So for basic principles. Yeah, so that's basically from what kind of things is expected from university. So could be unequal, but I think whenever you get a PhD or whenever you get your degree, it doesn't matter for me actually. After that, after you graduate, if you can get do your own work or own research, you're fine. Who cares a degree? Like, oh, you're a PhD, so you can do these things, but you're a master, so you cannot do these things. Who cares?
Right.
That's a good point, actually, because I was just thinking about this. Like, Logan, what's a quantum dot? Oh, you don't know? Yeah, I mean, because you were saying research areas, and like,
right.
Everyone has the same degree. Come on. Don't embarrass us all, okay? No. So you're saying everyone has the same degree, astronomy.
Right.
But, like, everyone has a different focus area.
Right.
So it's hard to compare apples to apples because actually there's, you know, photonics is completely different from image science,
right.
Completely different from, like, biomedical optics and things like that. So
the other interesting point is, you said, I don't care what happens when you pass your degree, right? You get your degree. And the caveat to that was, as long as you can do your own work. That's probably the most important point that anybody has said at this table yet today. That should be the real merit of equal and unequal.
So excuse me.
Can you do your own work? Logan Graves, I probably not. So that's the thing. But that's serious. Like, right? The degree should say that. You are capable of doing a given task or a set of tasks. Can you own your own work and can you be confident and accurate in what you do? That's extremely important. That says everybody at the same level. It says who performs.
Right. Yeah, but on one hand, yes, I think we all agree about that. But going back to the initial example where you said you were at a defense and someone couldn't even answer like the top level question, and yet they're still graduating.
I think that's going to be, I think down the road, someone's going to find out and say, oh, you got your PhD? Can you do your own work? Nope. Oh, shit.
Now what?
Now what's bad on everybody?
So,
well,
so
there's no, I don't, but there's no, I don't have a solve for it.
Oh,
I don't have a solution for it. I'm just saying.
Oh, you're not the dean of academic.
Fuck, I don't know. I'm just lying out here.
You're not
acting. I'm fucking dice in the street. Come on, guys.
I sincerely pay
those bills.
And it's one day to have.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That place would be in flames. Oh my lord.
Act on coastal coming
for you. He would be at every defense going like, no. Stop them.
What's there? He is.
Fail.
Get the fuck out.
Shame. Shame.
Yeah.
Just
congratulations to the one graduate.
Did you
this
even
year.
Did you look at the units on that? Get out. Get out of here.
I go back.
You give me a five.
The letter.
The letter.
Not. Yeah.
Can you do your own work, Logan? Tell me you can't.
No, I can't do it. I can't.
You can't even tie your shoes. What are we talking about?
Piercings? Dude, they're a.
He's got Velcro shoes.
Velcro.
Everyone in the podcast on their Velcro.
Yeah, you can't see him, but they're Velcro.
When I was a kid,
I do them, so we can't do the Velcro.
Every day I see a kid with light up Velcro shoes. Why those things are not for adults, I'm very
so
upset.
Cool.
Very upset.
You could probably get them.
Start the revolution. Fanny packs are coming back. I saw two in the last, like, 2 months.
Yeah,
anyways,
if you get a culinary dropout, all the servers have
fanny packs. Fanny packs? Yeah, fanny packs and surf beaches?
Whoa!
Okay, I get all excited about fanny packs all of a sudden. Like, I was going insane on that comment. Thank
no,
you
I was saying servers.
Oh!
I get my pogs out at the end of this too.
I was my point was going to be reads. Okay, hold on. Let's get back on track.
Okay.
My actual point was that I was fortunate enough to mostly get funded via grants or scholarships for graduate school. So my takeaway is like, oh great, the responsibility is on you. At the end of the day, like you're saying, you can do what you want to do. You can say like, I really want to do this to get a bigger paycheck. Fine, I don't want to push my morality or values on you. Or at the end of the day, I really want to do this to discover something new or just for the love of researching it. I also have a full appreciation of that short-sighted because if you paid for it, and if someone else does graduate and they don't know this shit, and they go to a company, and the company says, like, man, college of optics students don't actually know their stuff, and that impacts your outcome at the end of the day. Or if you pay for it, you'd be pissed, rightfully so. So, like, I don't know.
That's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you truly were, like, really passionate about a topic, and you get admitted to a program, let's say, and then you show up, and they go, yeah, find an advisor who has, like, funding the project you care about. And, like, you find an advisor who's really passionate about the same thing you are, and they're like, oh, yeah, sorry, I don't have money.
Or, sorry, you're
you
not
do?
A U.S. citizen.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, on somebody's life.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. But, so
yeah.
It's like...
Yeah. So some people have a lot of limitations on finding jobs, or doing projects,
that's
what, money
this is
allowed
a whole other topic.
In labs.
This is a whole
allowed
topic.
In labs.
Yeah.
Allowed in certain areas.
This is a whole other topic.
Yeah.
I want to make it a separate podcast.
Put the U.S.
Yes.
on blast. Yeah. U.S., if you're listening.
Send me my own now. I've been waiting for it.
Well, yeah. The White House, if you're listening to the State Department, we know you're listening to this podcast.
You see how big that mic is? Of course they're listening.
Where does this wire go? I can't find the other end.
They started listening when he said, build that wall. They're like, oh, yes.
They tuned in.
Even NASA's listening to us.
All right, I think that should be about enough. I do want to do a podcast about that topic. How about takeaway thoughts from everybody? What do you think?
I'll go last.
Okay, what do you think?
I can work it up right now.
I don't know. It seems like at the end of the day, it's up to the individual to like put in the amount of work that's sort of quote unquote required.
Okay.
So if you graduate and you do poorly, that reflects on everyone. But hopefully the people who are I'm going to say, bold enough or passionate enough to persist through the whole program will have the abilities by the end to do legitimate work. So it's hard to say what the checks and balances should be in place to make sure that there is even degrees in place. You just have to sort of rely on the system to make sure that the people that graduate are legitimate.
I'm happy to offer the opinion that success is defined personally, and you can choose to do your graduate studies however you see fit. Personally,
that being said,
because podcasts and opinions are fun. I think if you're not in this pursuit for knowledge and not in the pursuit of constantly trying to learn, and you're spoon-fed something either by your advisor or by a committee or something like that, you're doing yourself and the rest of the college in service, and good luck on the back.
That being said, I don't respect you.
No, really, like, you should chase, my personal opinion, you gotta chase knowledge, you gotta chase the better, because I don't do my work for myself, I do it to try to help some other people, something, society, some other benefit.
The bigger cause.
Bigger cause, definitely. Yeah. And that's a personal opinion on that. I challenge each grad student to look themselves in the mirror. Ask that question before you get too far in. That's all.
But it's like, real estate is an issue. This kind of issue exists. But if you're lucky enough, find somebody somewhere appreciates you. Then you feel like this is not a problem at all. If you're lucky enough. If not, then just keep it on yourself. For yourself, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just starting my PhD program now, so.
I'm scared of him completely, like, I'm not cashing my chips.
Yeah, I can't think about what should I do for my.
You know what an idiot is?
Otherwise, Eddie does not respect you.
Eddie will come back and take back your degree.
Don't worry, I set a very low bar, so don't worry.
So yeah, it was like time to have this kind of talk.
I think, as Eddie was saying, success is defined by everybody personally, but I also think we shouldn't be too worried about it, because I think in life, like, maybe right now you get a degree without doing so much work, or not get a degree for the right reasons, but it's going to come back sooner or later in life. So I think we shouldn't be too worried about, like, oh, this person did lesser work, or their advisor was nicer, whatever. Because in the end, everything is going to even out. But what is important is, I think you should know yourself, what you're doing, and why you're doing it. You should just be true to yourself. Even if you're getting a degree just for the sake of, as Sharon was saying, more money, better pay, whatever, as long as you know what you're doing, and you're willing to make the right sacrifices for it.
Okay. What are your thoughts?
What's the quantum box?
I'm gonna close on a cynical note.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a little phrase, I know. And,
I have witnessed people who have cheated or got ahead.
Okay. I
yourself, you mean?
Yeah, I looked in the mirror and I said, wow, you cheated and got ahead. I've literally witnessed people either cheat to get ahead in graduate school. And I'm saying this very much so with the intention that people who are in or considering or look up to or
cheaters.
Sensationalize the idea of being a scientist. These are the people I really am trying to speak to, that like cheaters exist. it's at graduate school.
Yeah.
Fraud exists, undoubtedly, and I think that my takeaway from this is that you should do something that does make yourself satisfied. Unfortunately, knowing that, like, no matter how much it is bullshit that some people might graduate not knowing what they did, not actually having done the work that they graduated on, not understanding it, we're only doing it because they want to make money, etc. If you do it for yourself, you'll probably be happier at the end of the day and more satisfied. I think that that's my takeaway. So yeah, my takeaway is, like, you should really do something because you enjoy it, and if you do... Actually, here's my last message. If you really do find someone who's going to graduate and you say, like, holy shit, they should graduate, push them on it. Go into their thesis, go into their defense.
Everybody
and actually
light your torches
questions.
And sharpen your pitchforks.
Yeah, take them down.
When is your defense?
Anyway.
Full bars on that one.
Also, please don't make time
comment, like, subscribe.
Share.
This podcast brought to you by Squarespace. Build it, dream it, Squarespace.
Link down below.
Yeah.
All right, and on that note, we're going to end this.
You know what I was just thinking about, though? You can turn it off, that's fine. That could be the last thing.